you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday. It's May 4th, 2018. Joining me in the studio, as our typical practice on Fridays, is to divide the book of Exodus, to read it verse by verse and discuss it and share it and hopefully find points of application. But most importantly, to connect with Almighty God who loves you. He has a plan and purpose for you today, for us. And we pray as we look back at some of this history, and yet it's always, it's that living word. It's always living. So though we're looking at biblical accounts of things that God was doing at that time, there's generally or usually points of application for us today, or knowledge for us to understand how God works, or how he desires to work in our lives, or how we need to lean into him or trust in him. And so we're in the 8th chapter of Exodus, and I'll begin reading verses 1 and 2. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'This is what the Lord says: Let my people go so that you may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will plague your whole country with frogs.'" Dun, 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 dun. Oh, I have a friend that you mentioned frogs, and he gets really squirmish.
Oh.
He absolutely hates frogs. Maybe some people would think of snakes or cockroaches or whatever. Frogs, he gets glassy-eyed, and he freaks out. He hates the thought of frogs.
Wow.
And he's not a believer, and he's like an evolutionist and stuff, and there's something about the frogs that, I don't know.
Another reason not to be an evolutionist,
yeah,
right?
That's
a frog.
So God is basically saying he will send a plague of frogs. But we're also going to find out that because of the magicians and their secret arts, they're going to do some of the similar things. And you've talked about this in the past, but I'll have you kind of walk us through. But it's kind of interesting that they're going to continue to bring more suffering to the people. And yet they had that ability. I don't know if that was a satanic thing or something that, you know, what their secret magical arts were. So sometimes there are powers and principalities that are released that are not God-honoring, but could be somewhat miraculous, I guess you could say.
Sure.
I don't know if you'll dive in there, but I'm laying some groundwork. So what can we learn about these people that are trying to find deliverance in the Lord, and yet Moses is trying to get Pharaoh to humble himself and submit to God?
Yeah, well, I think you hit the nail on the head right there. Deliverance in the Lord. And so all glory in all of this goes to God, even though the circumstances don't seem easy, even though the circumstances don't seem ideal. I mean, a plague does not seem the ideal place for a revival to begin, a calling back of a people to God, a deliverance of another group of people to God, the Israelites to God, and the Egyptians to submit and declare that Yahweh is the one true God. And yet this is where we find ourselves. We find ourselves, if you're heading in chapter 8 in at the book of Exodus, is the second plague, frogs. And it begins by saying, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go into Pharaoh and say to him.'" So Moses is being this kind of intercessor between God and man. Moses listens and hears what God tells him to do, and then Moses is obedient. We can never underscore this, that for God's, Moses gives glory to God right here by being obedient, by hearing what God says. It reminds me of the old hymn by Fanny Crosby. "To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life our redemption to win, and opened the life gate that all may go in." And then that resounding chorus, you probably already hear it if you know the hymn, but praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Hey, you and Tasha need to take that on the road, too.
If
you were tuned in Monday, if you were tuned in Wednesday, you heard a little debut song.
But the idea here is that God has done great things, and some of those great things are difficult things. Here, it is a great thing, but it is a difficult thing. But the great thing that Moses does, Moses is obedient. He hears God. He listens for God. He wants to give God the glory. He wants people to understand who God is, and He wants to allow the earth to hear God's voice through God's chosen man, who is Moses. And so God's chosen man, who is Moses, goes in and said, "Thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me."
And being obedient wasn't an easy thing, because this Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, the most intimidating person in the world, the person that could say off with his head, basically, I mean, to be obedient and to follow through on what he knew God told him to do, took kind of a level of fear and trepidation and trusting in God, because Pharaoh could have just said, be done with you.
What's really interesting is that, so we would go there and we would say, wow, I mean, I can't believe the obedience of Moses in light of being in the room with this powerful tyrant, this person who commanded such authority and displayed such wickedness. Oh my gosh, Moses, how can you be so obedient? I think I almost want to turn it on its head and say, how can we be so disobedient in so many lesser things? I mean, just think about how many times the Lord has asked us to do something, and it is nowhere near going to stand in the room in the court of the most powerful of men in the world, but simply to walk across the street and to love and to serve our neighbors, and we don't do that because we see that as scary. And so whenever we celebrate obedience, it should also bring to light for us our own disobedience, and then where we can repent and where we could say, Lord, you know what? I have missed the mark, but I so desperately want to be on point, so desperately want to hear your voice and to answer the call that you've placed upon me. I think it's twofold. We want to celebrate the obedience, but part of the celebrating the obedience, or part of the looking at the obedience, is to help to uncover where we have not been obedient so that we can come alongside and do the things that Moses did. This text is not to lift up and say how great Moses is. This text is to say, in my opinion, how we can become like what Moses did. You know, that we can go into whatever places that it seems that Pharaoh is ruling over, you know, households where it seems like that which is immoral and unloving seems to reign in that household, and how we can go in there and say, we want to help to let these people go by sharing the good news message of Jesus, the hope that we have.
And I think when you put God into the proper perspective, Pharaoh is just a man. So if you really have sure. God down right, it's like, hey, he's just a man like any other man that puts his pants on, you know, I said, one leg at a time, that kind of thing, that he's no greater than anyone else. I mean, that's when you have the real proper perspective grounded in the Lord, and then you feel empowered by him. You know, those of us that follow the Lord Jesus Christ and have the Holy Spirit abiding in us, we can do, as the scriptures say, greater things than even Jesus did.
Yeah.
When we have the proper perspective.
Yeah. Well, just think about this. So what is Moses called to do? He's called to go into Pharaoh and say, the Lord says this. Thus says the Lord. And this is so instructive and powerful for me, because when you think about go to Matthew chapter 4. And if you look at Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is brought into the wilderness, the Judean wilderness, and Satan comes to tempt him. By the way, God has just declared that this is my son whom I love. So the minute God identifies, this is my divine son who has come to do what I have called him to do, immediately temptation comes. Immediately the devil comes. Because that's what the devil does when God raises up a righteous man. Job teaches us that in the first and second chapter of Job. And so here, Jesus is driven into the Judean wilderness, and Satan comes to tempt him. By the way, it's not a demon. It's not a lesser devil. It is the devil. Satan, it is Satan. And what does Jesus say? Satan says, you know, well, if you're so hungry, why don't you turn these stones into bread? And does Jesus say, I have a really good axiom that I heard to answer your question. I have a way, I'm going to argue with you about what you've asked me. No, he says, it is written, thus says the Lord. You know why he says that? Because the best weapon that we can yield is the weapon that Jesus wields, which is the Word of God. See, Moses could have gone in with any other kind of thing to say to Pharaoh, but instead Moses carries the words of God, which carry the weight of God, which carries the work, the wonder of God, which carries the power of God. That's the same weapon Jesus, when tempted by Satan himself, chose to use. And what's interesting and fascinating when I think about that, when I think about how we need to wield the Word of God, is that's the same weapon. We have access to the same weapon that Jesus yielded. It's a weapon that's given to us through his sonship. It's a weapon that we can use to defend ourselves from temptation, from fear, from hopelessness. And it's also, and this is probably the most powerful thing for me, is that God's word is a weapon that when we look at Matthew chapter 4, Jesus understood how to use. In his obedience, Moses understood how to wield the weapon. To wield the weapon was obedience, to walk in, to know it. Moses didn't come in and said, I think the Lord said this. I'm going to paraphrase what the Lord said. He came in and he said, thus says, this is what the Lord says. Let my people go, that they may serve me, that they may worship me. And if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will plague all your country with frogs. And so this is fascinating. And by the way, listen, in Egypt, the frog was a fertility symbol. There was a goddess called Hecate, who was the goddess of fertility, resurrection, childbirth. And she had the kind of the head of a frog. And this is important to know, because what did God say before the plagues came upon? In Exodus chapter 12, he says, on all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. And so God is saying, on all the little g gods in Egypt, all the things that these people seem to worship, all these things that these people seem to want to follow, I am going to point them back to the one true God. I'm going to point them back to myself, to Yahweh, who is ultimately the only deliverer. You might worship all the things of creation, but I'm going to show you that creation has a creator, and that is Yahweh.
Which way?
Yahweh. And so this warning that Moses brings to Pharaoh, the words of God, is specific and clear. This is what I love. God's word is specific and clear. The Bible says, sharper than a double-edged sword, able to cleave between truth and non-truth, between lies and deceit. God is specific and God is clear. I always tell people, if it feels chaotic, I would question if God's in the midst of that thing. Mm-hmm. Because clarity is where God loves to be. Now, you know what, when you go, well, wait a second, Jason, I've been in places where I know God's at work and it seems really unclear, it seems ambiguous. If it seems ambiguous and it seems unclear, it's because you're not in His Word, you're not seeking Him by His Spirit, you're not praying, you're not aligning yourself. You're kind of wandering to the left and the right of the road instead of staying by the center line.
Or you want to impose your own will into it.
Oh,
God's
yeah.
Trying to show you that that's why there's some confusion or it's not working out.
Yeah, and so this is very specific and this is very clear, down to the fact that it says here that the frogs will go into their houses, into their beds, into their cupboards, into their cooking utensils, and would be even on the bodies of the people. All the people, those on the top and those on the bottom, those who are rich and those who are poor, everyone in Egypt will have frogs all over them, and the frogs will be everywhere. It's very clear. So when this happens, and somebody opens up their cupboard and they go, oh my gosh, there's frogs in my cupboard. Yeah, exactly. The Word of God said that you would have frogs in your cupboard. But they're in my utensils. Oh my gosh. Yeah, the warning was they would be in your utensils. By the way, they would be in the cupboard, so they'd be where the food was. They would be in the bedrooms where you slept. They would be in your bed where we like to tend to think that we can get some respite, we can hide away. They would be in the houses of your servants and your people. They'd be in the ovens where you cook your food. They'd be where you make your food. They'd be where you store your food. They'd be with the things that you use to make your food. They'd be everywhere. Every part of your life would be filled with these frogs. And then the Lord said to Moses, verse 5, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers and over the canals and over the pools and make the frogs come up on the land of Egypt. And so again, obedience. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And then verse 7. So unfortunate. But the magicians did the same by their secret arts and made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Now I want to say two things about their secret arts. Because some of us might go, well, you know, I mean, what is that? Magic? Is that the occult? What is that? Maybe. I don't know. But this is what I'm going to say. God allowed it.
Mm-hmm.
And why did God allow it? Because it exposed the wickedness of their hearts. They were not looking to make things better. The better thing would have been to do for the magicians to go, you know what, Pharaoh, we got a better idea. The last time around, we made more bloody water. That wasn't really a good idea. We kind of made things worse. This time, we got a little thing we can do where we think we can get rid of some frogs. But instead, their own pride. Oh, he does that? Well, we can do that too. And all that does is propel forward more wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Bible tells us, right? Sin begat sin. Sin compounds upon it. And so their sinful hearts makes them want to do sinful actions, which wants to affect the people. And so here, it's bad enough. They got frogs in their beds. They got frogs in their cupboards. They got frogs in their servants. They got frogs all over them. Frogs are everywhere. Frogs are just, it's nuts. And then they make more frogs.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, if you're the people in Egypt, you're going, wait a second. The guy who supposedly is for us really doesn't seem to be quite for us, because we had enough frogs, we didn't need any more of those.
Yeah.
But that's what they did. And so listen, we can say they're secret arts, but for those of us who call God Savior, who call God King, who call God Creator, who call God Sovereign, it's no secret. God allowed it. Mm-hmm. He allowed this to happen so that he could expose the wickedness in their heart. Once again, they're known for what they're against, God, not what they're for, the relief of the people. And so not only is things miserable in Egypt, but now they make it more miserable.
Bad to worse.
Yeah, bad to worse. It's time when you kind of go like, I think my enemy is my friend at this moment. And so then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, plead with the Lord to take away the frogs from me and my people, and I will let the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. So here we think that, oh my gosh, wait a second, Pharaoh has come to his senses. He's come to his senses. But listen, sadly, this was not a heart change. This was simply a strategy to remove the plague. This was simply a political move to try and woo the people back. Because I have to believe in this moment that things were not going well politically for Pharaoh, that the people were like, whoa, I can't, you know, down with impeach Pharaoh. You know, you came and you said, make Egypt great again. and now look what you've done. I mean, and I'm not making a political statement. I just wanted to make a light of something. But here's the point. Is that Pharaoh is at least partially right. He knows where the pleading has to go. By the way, this exposes something about Pharaoh's heart, right? Because Pharaoh knows where pleading for respite from this needs to go. It needs to go to the Lord. Pharaoh's acknowledging that God is sovereign, that God is in control, that God is the one. Pharaoh's acknowledging that this plague wasn't some freakish accident, that God was indeed in control and did cause it, that God did allow his magicians to create more frogs. And so then the question is, As we begin to see the fullness, not even the fullness because we got way more plagues to go through, but as we begin to see even more of the hardness of Pharaoh's heart, we have to ask ourselves, what would it take to persuade Pharaoh to let God's people truly go, that they might worship him? I mean, was it a river of blood? No, we did that. Is it an infestation of frogs? No, we did that. You know, it's interesting. Charles Schulz, known for Peanuts comics, mm-hmm. He wrote a humorous book way back when called What's Buggin' Old Pharaoh. And so this would actually take us into the next plague, but we're going to run out of time, so I don't want to go there yet. But next week we'll talk about what's bugging old Pharaoh. But really today I want you to rest in the fact of this. What does it take? What does God have to do to break through your hard heart? Are you the kind of person that you're known more for what you're against, so much so that you're willing to make the lives of the people around you worse so that you can prove your point? Or are you the kind of person who is humble and submissive, who acknowledges that God is sovereign, that God is in control, that even in the midst of the worst situations, there is opportunities for you to love and you to serve and you to lift people up? Because for many of us, when things get bad, it shows our true colors. It shows just how for ourselves we are and not how for God we are. And the instruction for each one of us is what Moses and Aaron do, is that in the midst of a hard situation, and let's not discount the fact that as they come and they dole out these plagues, they know that this affects the lives of the people around them, including the Israelites. The Israelites saw the frogs. The Israelites dealt with the frogs. There was bloody water, and the Israelites were a part of the place where this happened also. And so there had to be a moment where I have to think that Moses and Aaron were like, gosh, Lord, oh, this is going to be so difficult. Their compassion wells up. And yet they say, this is what the Lord says. And I have to listen to what the Lord says. I want to be in that place of obedience, that place where he has called me, because that place where he has called me, he will use me. And you will use me powerfully. And for some of us, that will be to expose the hardness of the hearts around us. And that will also be to soften and to break through those hearts. Hmm. But we can't do any of that, friends, if our hearts are hard. If our hearts desire only what is best for us and not what is for the Lord. And so my question to you today is, are you more Moses or are you more Pharaoh? You know, maybe we might just move forward and say, are you more Pharisaical or are you more like Jesus? And I'm just going to be honest with you that there are days where if I'm really honest, I got to go, gosh darn it, Lord, Pharisee'd it today. I really am way too close to that. I need to move back towards the humility and the generosity and the long-suffering and the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ, the obedience where Jesus says, I'm just about the Father's work. And so, friends, that's my challenge for you today. Can you be about the Father's work? Can you go into places of absolute darkness and say, this is what the Lord says, and I'm here to declare your freedom? Jesus said, I'm here to set the captives free.
Closing out with most of the song, Go Down Moses by the Singing Men of GNN to close out our period. And I like that, pray to the Lord. But we would say to our Christian brothers and sisters, those that follow Jesus, praying to the Lord is praying to somebody that desires our best interest, that wants to answer our prayers, that wants to be involved. Hey, just rescue the situation. I don't really believe in God or anything, but the foxhole conversion kind of thing that, hey, I need help right now, but I'm not going to follow him or surrender or submit to him.
Yeah, God is not a short-term fix. God is an eternal Savior.
Amen. Go Down Moses by the Singing Men of GNN. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.